Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. No one will ever be able to truly understand or feel the emotions that those first disciples felt on that first Easter. Think about the despair and the despondency after Jesus' death on the cross on Good Friday. That feeling had to be far worse than any of the agony that we feel at the loss of a loved one. And I know that so many of you here know the depth of that feeling of grief at the loss of a loved one. But for those disciples, Jesus was more than just a loved one, more than even the closest of loved ones or family members. Jesus was one whom they had come to know and believe in as their Lord and their Savior. And so it was not just that a dear loved one had now been separated from them by death, but that all of their hope and their trust and their whole entire lives as followers of him were now completely shattered. And so it's a wonder then that those 11 disciples didn't follow Judas into utter despair during that time between Friday afternoon and Sunday morning. Now, when the disciples on Sunday were able to say, "We have seen the Lord," that was news that was difficult for the others who had not yet seen him to believe. It required a total change in their way of thinking. They had only just begun to get used to the idea that Jesus was dead and that he was separated from them. And so we can understand why at first the Apostle Thomas didn't believe until he saw for himself and until he was able to put his finger into the nail wounds in Jesus' hands and the spear wound in his side. But then when he did see, he fell down in humble awe with the simple words, "My Lord and my God." He and the others saw how that death of Jesus had been turned into a victory. How that death was necessary in order that victory over death for all people might be won. And it was a hard-earned victory indeed. It was a life and death victory. And that is the real message of Easter for us. That Christ has earned a victory over life and death by becoming for us the Lord of life and death. It makes all the difference in the world that Christ is arisen and alive. He has proven himself to be victorious over death. As our text reminds us, he has destroyed that last enemy, death itself. And as the Apostle Paul reminds us in another place, he has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light. Now, there are those, even today, who call themselves Christians, yet who nevertheless say that it's not really necessary to believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead. You can still be a Christian and not really believe that the resurrection of Jesus actually happened. They say it's just enough that Jesus' spirit of love and of self-sacrifice lives among us and in our relationships with each other. And just believing that and having that good feeling towards each other is enough to make us Christian. But according to God's word through his apostle Paul, we see that that is not enough. Not if our lives are going to have true purpose and power from God. It is not enough if we are going to call Jesus our Lord and our Savior. To be our Lord, he must be a living Lord. And that is precisely the Easter message. We have a living Lord, one who has lived our life, lived a perfect life in our place, and who has died the death that we deserve. To show us that our existence now through him has eternal significance. He lived our life in order that he might die our death, so that we might be alive with him now and forever. But more than that, Jesus has not only identified himself completely with our life and death, but we are completely identified with his life and death also. He died and rose again for us, and we die and rise again with him. As the Apostle Paul writes, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And all of this started at our baptism. Remember the Apostle Paul's words in Romans chapter 6. He says, don't you know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with him in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. We know that our old self, the sinful nature, has been crucified with him so that the sinful nature might be destroyed and we might no longer be slaves to sin. For whoever has died has been freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that Christ has been raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. And so you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Those words from Romans chapter 6, just by themselves, make a powerful Easter sermon. And the picture that the Apostle Paul is trying to paint there is this, that through baptism, we died. Our old self has died, and we have been raised together with Jesus to new life. We lost that old way of life that we lived apart from God and by ourselves. If we were ever to have life again, that life would have to be restored in us, brought back to us. We couldn't earn it or get it by ourselves, but Christ came to restore that life to us once again. As the Apostle Paul writes in our reading, as in Adam, the first sinner, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all will be made alive. Through the sin of Adam and Eve, paradise had been lost. But through Jesus, paradise has been restored. In Adam, we learned the meaning of sorrow and disappointment and failure. But in Christ, we find hope and joy and victory. In Adam, we see selfishness and greed become a part of our life, but in Christ, we have power again to love and to serve. In Adam, life took on a meaninglessness and a lostness, but in Christ, it is restored again to purpose and direction. In Christ, all have been made alive. But the picture that the Apostle Paul paints for us in our text is even greater than that. When it speaks about finding life in Christ, it's not talking about only the relatively few years that we live on this side of eternity. It's also talking about the life that we find even in the face of our physical death. Easter makes life worth living by giving our life a new direction. But Easter also makes death worth dying by giving it a new dimension as well. No outlook on life could possibly be complete unless it gives us an answer to this universal experience, the experience of death. It's an experience that is such a very lonely one because In the final moment, we must face death all alone. And unless we have an answer to this final and terrifying experience of life, then we have a religion that is, in the end, inadequate and ultimately lets us down. As the Apostle Paul writes, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, then we are the most pitiful of all people. But thank God that that is not the case, because Christ Jesus has indeed been raised from the dead as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And here we see that one of the word pictures that the New Testament uses again and again, referring to death as simply asleep, with a waking up at the dawn of a new day. So instead of an agonizing and fearful prospect, instead of a cruel and senseless end to young and hopeful lives, instead of the result of relentless wearing out and deterioration of our bodies that have lived 70 or 80 or 90 years, now death for a Christian is more just like taking a nap, like laying aside the problems, pains, and turmoils of the day and going to sleep in the confidence that because Christ lives, we too will live. And that is a hope that has carried many Christians victoriously and triumphantly across that threshold of death. Yes, we experience death alone, but we are not going through unexplored territory. Jesus has gone through that territory before, and he has come out victorious on the other side, and now he beckons us onward. So that even though we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, we need fear no evil, because he is with us. His rod and his staff comfort us. This is our hope as we face death ourselves, whether in the near or distant future. This is our comfort as we face also the death of a loved one. What do you tell parents who have just lost a child? Or people whom senseless tragedies have struck? What do you say to them in the depth of their grief and pain? Well, the Christian religion has something to say. It doesn't tell us that to be a Christian means that death will never come to us or to our loved ones. On the other hand, it reminds us that death is universal because of sin, that it strikes at any and all ages in many different ways, and eventually, unless our Savior returns on the last day first, it will come to all of us. The Christian religion does not promise that death will be eliminated. Rather, it provides the answer to death. It enables us to look right through it and right past it, because the Lord Jesus, in whom we trust, has experienced it already for us, so that he could conquer it for us. So this, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, has tremendous significance for our living and for our dying, for life and for death, because he is the Lord of both life and death. The great apostle who wrote these words, the Apostle Paul, knew what it meant to live in the power of Jesus' resurrection. He spoke of it often in his writings. In Romans chapter 14, he said, "It is for this reason that Christ has died and lived again, so that he might be the Lord both of the dead and of the living." The victory of Jesus Christ at Easter is also our victory. Nothing, God assures us, absolutely nothing, neither death nor life nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the victory of Easter, makes it possible for us both to live and to die victoriously. And to be able to live and to die victoriously means, in the fullest sense, to know what it means to live. Amen.